You know, it wasn't until the 19th century when books became readily available, especially for the low income. I grew up with books. I loved to read. In fact, I would find corners where mom and dad couldn't find me because I wanted to read. And they always had one more chore for me to do. But for thousands of years, we told our stories around campfires, in the halls of kings and queens, and in the mud huts in the heart of Africa. There's something about a story that's told, and there's something sacred about a story that's heard. In these conversations, I'm just trying to provide a time and space to hear the stories of people around me. I knew each person before we sat down to speak and to listen, but I always came away from each conversation with a deeper appreciation and a deeper admiration for a person I already appreciated and admired. I hope you enjoy these conversations, and I hope you feel inspired to provide a space and time to hear the stories of others. Welcome to these unfiltered conversations.
All right, we're going to have a conversation today about this project that you two have been engaged in. And I'd like to start by tell us the name of the project, introduce yourselves just a little bit, and then we're going to talk about what inspired this.
Well, the name of the project is called Unfiltered Conversations with Myron. I really struggled with the title because the project was not about me. It was about people's stories, conversations with people. But I didn't quite know what else to come up with. Plus, I like the word unfiltered because we're not really filtering this.
Right.
It is a conversation, not an interview. Yeah. So interviews are, I have my 10 questions, and we're going to stick with those.
Yeah.
My conversation has always been, well, we're going to start here. If we get stuck somewhere, I've got questions. And I, actually, for some of the people, I answered a few questions, but the conversation just sort of went, and we ended up where it ended up at.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of where the title came from. And,
you know, yeah, let it unfold as it would.
Yeah. It's a conversation on an interview. I want to be clear about that.
I like that. Yep, I like that title for it, too. I think there's something about you that's open for people to talk to.
Unfiltered?
Well, there might be some unfiltered. I wasn't going to get into that, but yes, that's part of the two. You don't tend to filter what you say.
Okay. Been in that.
All right. And, okay, so Myron and Iris, you are related.
We are. He's my grandfather.
Yes.
My favorite grandfather.
Oh, nice.
He's the closest one I have, I think. I have a grandpa's, but, you know, it's more personal with him rather than with my other family members. It's kind of strange, but
yeah
that's the thing.
Yep. Well, and I've heard him talk about you with love and affection and some admiration for who you are and who you're becoming. So,
that's nice.
And we're going to get into kind of what has come about for the two of you. So let's start, though, with what inspired this Unfiltered Conversations with Myron?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know that any one thing, I could say that one thing inspired it, but at least for a number of years, I've been discovering the power of someone telling a story.
Hey.
And often in conversations, you know, we're taught that if you spend 5 minutes talking, I need to spend 5 minutes talking.
Hey.
And so we sort of try to keep it 50-50 to be good friends.
Hey.
So we try to even it out. Hey. So I'll ask you questions and you ask me questions. And what I really wanted to do in this conversation is to let you tell your story, and it is about your story and unpacking that, who you are, and just allowing that space for the person to tell their story. So I've been just watching stories being told over the years and thinking, you know, we don't tell stories a whole lot. It occurred to me a number of years ago, or recently maybe, that it wasn't until the 19th century, maybe the 20th century, that we had books available.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, or at least but before that, we told stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat around and told stories. And history was told verbally.
Yeah.
And there's something sacred about that, I think, where I'm unpacking my life to you. And I just wanted that to happen. And so I've thought about for years, how do we make that happen?
Yeah.
And who's going to do that?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I guess, here I am. But I don't really feel like I have an expert on it. But I can turn the mics on, and we can start a conversation, and I guess that's good enough.
I kind of want to jump off what he said about, like, the storytelling. And it's not, like, the Native Americans used verbal language. Mm-hmm. They also used art. They That's how they told their stories. And I think doing this is a really important for not only, like, future artists and future storytellers and podcasters, whatever you want to call it. Art will always be a universal language, no matter, like, even with... If you can't read English and you can't read those stories, you can see the pictures and kind of feel like, oh, this is where it kind of leads to, you know? And I think that's something really special. And so when he came to me about this, I was like, I'm totally down. I'd love to do that.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about his. Like, let's talk about, like, there is an art component to this. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about the art component of these conversations?
Well, I think for me as an artist, art has always came easy to me. And so... when he introduced this project to me, it was a little challenging. It was like trying to draw faces that looked like that person, and but also had that cartoony aspect, and thinking of like what to put, you know, because I know you were a little difficult because you had so much say. And so I'm like, what are some really important things? So I just chose what I thought would be important to me, like which you kept referring back to or something like that. And so I think just planning out the whole thing is a little difficult, and thinking of what to draw for them, because sometimes, like, these stories are so, like, they need to be told verbally, so it's hard to be able to draw something that should be said verbally, if that makes sense. Yeah. But I've had a really fun time and grown a lot as an artist, like, especially with human faces, because that's a kind of difficult thing to draw, you know? It's like, look at somebody and notice every single detail in their head or in their eyes or in their nose and how it shaped, like, and put that on like a 2D, like, is really hard. And so doing this has really helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really thankful because now I'm going into my sophomore year of college with this newfound knowledge of how to draw faces. So when I do need to do that for an assignment, I'll be prepared.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I thought of, kind of bouncing off what you said, was, you know, if you look at the ancient caves, hieroglyphics, I can almost see, you know, people sitting around telling stories and so on. The resident artist was on the cave wall telling the story in hieroglyphics or whatever. And so maybe we're just going back to cave, cave days and saying, well, let's tell a story, but let's also demonstrate.
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was fun. You know, when I first proposed it to her, she sort of had a little glazed eyes, like,
what does this mean?
Yeah. It's like, oh, I have all of these people out wanting to interview them, draw all of them. Like, all of it's kind of a lot of work, but then, like, when I start getting into it, I'm like, okay, it's not that bad. I just actually have to sit down and draw it and not take a couple days.
So I told her that. I said, well, here's my story. Here's my, you know, what I look like. And I just said this, and there's some bullet points. And I said, just draw and see what you can come up with. And she whipped it out. Mm-hmm. And then she said, oh, okay, I get it.
Right. That makes sense.
Right, yeah.
Well, and let's just clarify. Like, part of this project, we talked about the conversation, these unfiltered conversations with Byron. But there's also this art component, and you've done a really good job. And I think what happened is the conversation would happen, and then he would send it to you.
Yeah.
And what happened next?
I sit around at my dad's tattoo shop. Well, he doesn't know the tattoo shop, but he's a tattoo artist. So I'll literally sit there with my headphones on from 11 o'clock in the morning to the latest 9 o'clock at night and sit there and just draw all day.
Yeah.
So I'll just try to like bust these drawings out and take breaks. And it's just listening to the podcast, going back over it, like, rewinding it, seeing exactly what they're saying, writing it down, and then, okay, what can I put as a picture, draw the picture. And it's like, as an artist, I don't know if you ever get this, I can think of pictures in my head and where, like, I can see a sheet of paper right now and everything that I want to have on it, you know? So it's, I have like a little blueprint in my head when it comes to these drawings. I know the basic outline of it, how it's going to be directed, how it's going to flow with the page already planned out. So it's just the writing and the drawing part that's the hardest part, because it's like, oh, what do I draw for somebody having a good childhood memory? And it's like, with you, I put a tree. I'm like, it was pretty simple, and But like if somebody didn't have a great childhood or something mentioned like Biz, for example, I was like, how can I represent him without only it being where he came from? You know, and I'm like, because that's a lot, because it's not about where you came from, it's about how you got to the ocean, in my opinion. And I always talk about it with my friends, and I even ask my friend or my roommate, well, what makes Goshen so special to you? And she's like, well, I know that the brew is a sense of community, essentially. She was just referring to the brew, and she was like, it brings people from all different spaces together where they can kind of just relax and enjoy themselves and have a cup of coffee. And I'm like, well, that's kind of Goshen in a way. And I'm also not from Goshen, but I lived in Goshen when I was younger, and I moved to Vegas, and then coming back, it's kind of a culture shock because everyone's so nice. Yeah. It's like there is a sense of community in Goshen that is so close-knit compared to Las Vegas, which is 3 million people, I think, maybe a little less than that. And so it's really nice to feel that feel that community. And for me being a part of this project, I feel more within the community. I know my peers better in a way. I don't know everyone, but maybe someday when I get to Grandpa's age, I'll know everybody. Because he doesn't seem to stop talking to everybody when you walk down the street.
That's what a lot of people know him. You know, I want to interject here, Iris. I don't know if there are many examples out there in the art world of what you have done. There is something for artists where we derive inspiration in a whole variety of ways, but it's usually in the context of our own personal life or in what we're observing. And here what you have done is you have disciplined yourself to listen to the story of someone else and allow that to be the inspiration for your art. And I think there is something unique in that, and I think your approach to it is really powerful, because it is what you were talking about, these cave drawings, right? It is these conversations that happen that are unfiltered, that really expose, it did for me, but expose parts of myself that I don't necessarily show everybody all the time. And I think that's kind of what you were getting at, right? And so now to take that exposed heart and to transfer that to art, to a drawing, is something really beautiful and precious. And I just want to acknowledge that. There is something that feels really unique and special about this.
So I feel like everyone deserves to be vulnerable, and no one deserves to feel like they need to hold in all their emotions. Because, of course, like, I was a teenager, I'm still a teenager, I know how that feels like, to feel like I can't say this because it's hurtful to me, I just don't want to think about it. But that's who you are, that's what created you, that those traumas and those good times and those bad times created you to who you are now. And there's still going to be way more of that, especially for me. Like, I'm going to have experience way more, but learning that it is okay to be vulnerable and it is okay to let other people in, whether it be a random stranger or a friend, that since I know that now, I won't be afraid of it later.
Yeah, for sure.
And I just have to say, I'm proud of Iris and what she did with this. I know she was scared going into it, and I know she was a little bit overwhelmed, but I'm really proud of what she's done. Also, I feel honored to have done this with a granddaughter. You know, where it's like two generations splits us, basically. There's a lot of reasons we wouldn't have much in common as generations go. And so this has been a really special project for me personally.
Yeah,
me too. I completely agree with that.
And I think I would imagine part of why it works so well too is the close relationship the two of you have.
I mean, we act similar. We like to talk and talk philosophy, and some days I can get to talking and not even let the other person speak.
Yeah.
I know that this project's really good for, it's like, instead of talking so much, why don't you just cut back and listen a little bit, you know, personally, but.
Yeah, it's a good practice, right? I mean, I think when I think of the conversations from Myra's perspective, it is his ability to be present with someone, right? We talk, it's not a 50-50 conversation. Yeah. I'm choosing to show up and be present for your story. And same way with you, when you put your headphones on, you're choosing to be present to that person's story.
So I think there's some things. Like, I remember a lot. Like, every story I remember something, and I think that's because I drew it out. I'd re-listen to everything. I'm just, like, making sure everything's perfect.
And in fact, for Friday, you saw one of the interviews, and some out there, and she said, I thought of later, she's just going up there. I know who you are.
Yeah, I listened to your story.
But having said that, it's sort of like, because of that story, she knows someone in a totally different way. She would never have ever met this person in that context.
And I know that's part of what inspires you for this project in general, is you want more of that in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
I didn't do 1,000 rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
And seriously.
But you also, I know, want to inspire other people to listen to one another.
Exactly.
But, yeah. And we're going to talk about where you want to go with this project then in a little bit. You came in with expectations, maybe not sure what the expectations were, Iris, for yourself. You know, like, all right, you know, I'm willing to go along with what Grandpa wants to do here, but you came in with expectations, and I wonder what you might have learned, both of you, what surprised you in this experience. Anything you want to fill in there?
I think for me, you know, In the conversation, there was a couple of things that really popped out. One thing was, my expectations were, I really don't know if this is going to work or not. Before we started, why would anybody want to sit down in front of a microphone and talk? I want to hear your story. Okay, so now I'm just going to tell you. Now I thought, this could be really the dumbest idea, and it would never work. And so one of the things I was surprised at is how easily it did work.
Yeah.
You know, that... people's personalities came out very quickly. Some people, you just, you know, put the core in the machine and it just runs. For others, there was a little priming.
Sure.
The answers were shorter, a little bit tighter.
Mm-hmm.
And others elaborated to the point that, okay, can we come back and then stay on track? So, but I don't think there was anybody that I thought, they just don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, I told each person what we were going to do. And so they knew what they were getting into. So, and nobody turned me down. So,
yeah.
I think that.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
Nobody turned me down.
Well, what were people's responses when you asked them to be a part of this project?
Yes. So almost to every one of them, it was like, oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Okay.
Which again, sort of surprised me.
Yeah.
That there was that kind of positive response to it.
Yeah.
And after we're, and I always tell people, if at the end of the conversation, if you want to ditch it, we'll ditch it.
Sure.
And there's no, if you want to take something out, you know, you said something you don't really want on there, that's fine. Or if we can ditch it, we'll walk away. We still had a great conversation. It was very positive. People were very responsive. And so that was the one thing that sort of exceeded my expectations. The other thing that sort of surprised me is most people were not from here.
That's right.
And I didn't think about that. I didn't ask people thinking, well, you're not from here, I'm going to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But as the conversations unpacked, mm-hmm. I thought, it's not quite true. There were a couple people, I think, in the end that were at least sort of local. Most people weren't from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sort of found that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my favorite conversations were people who were really from other places.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have another perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Which is part of what makes up the fabric of Goshen as well, isn't it? And has for a number of years.
Very multicultural.
Right.
Without even thinking about it.
Right.
Ahead of time.
Yeah. I want to come to you, Iris, in a second, but I want to ask one more question, Myron. How did you choose who you were going to invite?
So I wanted to have a broader spectrum. I didn't want everybody like me.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to look for people who were not like me.
It is.
And so that was gender. So I tried to find female participants as well, older, younger. I wanted to get people from other cultures, Hispanics. Three participants were from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried to find a variety of that. So that was one thing. The other thing is, I would sometimes just see somebody walk in and say, that one.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, they reminded me of I'd like to dig deeper on that person, and then they would fit well into what I'm trying to do. So some of it was just random. Other people, as I thought of them, and I'd make a list, and I'd pull people out and say, "Yeah, let's go with it." And some of them I barely knew. I just was very superficial relationship. Not anymore.
Yeah, right.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not after those conversations, for sure. Iris, you talked about having kind of a, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, mindset. And you talked a little bit about how you one of the things you feel like you learned was how to draw faces.
Yeah.
You personally as well, like, what do you feel surprised you, or what do you feel you learned through this process?
Well, I kind of learned that, well, after hearing what Grandpa said, it's like everyone kind of came easily to talking. And I feel like I'm surprised at how many people want that vulnerability that they can't get necessarily. Mm-hmm. And like I was talking about earlier, like, vulnerability is scary. And so I think this project is so, like, exceeded my expectations just because I realized how much people are willing to talk. You know what I mean? Like, people are willing to give that deepest, darkest, sad story. Like, people are willing to do that, but nobody asks. And that's what's surprising to me, that they, like, did it, you know? Because most people won't say, oh, yeah, this happened or that happened, because it's like, I don't want anybody to know, because it's a shameful thing, especially in today's society. And I think also what exceeded my expectation was the variety of people you did choose, because I was like, not everyone is from Goshen, and I really liked that, and because it makes it more special for me as a person who isn't from Goshen, and I don't understand the cultural of Goshen and stuff like that. It when I moved here, it was a culture shock, but like getting these people's stories and knowing that I'm not alone, and feeling like, oh, it's scary to go to a different place, but then when you find that community, you realize, oh no, this is my home. Like, this is home. Like, Goshen isn't Goshen because people were born and raised in Goshen. Goshen's because people come from other places. They choose Goshen. That's why it's so special, you know? I think that's what exceeded my expectation, realizing that people want to be here. It's not, they're not forced to be here, you know? But yeah.
Well, and I hear in that a little bit of finding your own place in Goshen.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's, I'm alternative. I have tattoos and piercings, and I don't think you can go downstairs and find anyone as tattooed as me or my dad right now. So, you know, or pierced and stuff. And so it is a little hard because of my stalling, but I realized I'm still human, and I still go on with everybody. Rather, it be somebody who's country, you know, all that sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about something that I wanted to raise, that I think is an outcome, as a participant, an outcome from this project, one where the fact that you asked us to be a part of this project as those sharing our stories really is validating to us in some way, that somebody's interested in us, that somebody wants to learn to know us, somebody wants to take the time. And I think for humans in general, and Iris, you were just kind of sharing some of this, I think that's such a powerful experience.
It's because, like, people need that bond with each other. Like, oh, I went through this, I also went through this. We have a shared common experience, but we can be such different people. We can learn from each other. We can be like, oh, I like this tree. Like, let me learn some more patience and empathy, or maybe I can learn how to be a little, put my foot down more. Maybe I can tell people no. You know what I mean? And so I think that's what's so special about listening to other people's stories, and also just keeping in mind that I do take things for granted, because a lot of people, especially the older generation, Chet Peachy, his mom, when he explained that his mom went through 3 days of labor with no medicine at home, I'm like, what? Are you serious? And that was so shocking to me. But, like, so it's, like, helps me to make sure, like, I know that I am a very privileged person in life, and I get that privilege and that security because of my grandparents, because of my dad, because of my family. and I have those people to talk to. Some people don't. And so I do like this project where it's, even if it's just a one-time conversation, that one-time conversation could affect how you feel about yourself and other people forever.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think, yeah, that presence piece is really important. I think there's something about, I'm thinking about the people that are going to hear this podcast. And we live in such a divisive culture right now. And I'm struck, Iris, by what you were saying about how we can come from different perspectives and have different opinions about things. But the power of listening to each other, the power of listening, I think is something I'm really gleaning from this.
Maybe I could just interject maybe another piece that sort of came into the impetus for these conversations is just a lot of studies have been done on the loneliness epidemic that we're experiencing worldwide, specifically the U.S., specifically here.
Yeah.
Specifically, no matter where you're at, there's just a real loneliness. People don't have someone to listen, someone to talk to, someone to bear your burdens, you know, shoulder your pain, and those kinds of things. And maybe this is also just a way of, can we take the pressure off of someone else?
Yes.
And maybe we can set a model.
Yeah.
To say, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's something everyone can do. It's just a conversation.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. It's a conversation, and that's it.
Yeah. What do you think? I think there's something that scares people in sitting down and having conversations like this.
Well, it goes back to what she said. I mean, a lot of things is the vulnerability. I don't mind talking about sports. I don't mind talking about the weather. I don't mind, those kinds of things. All of us have, you mentioned the divisive families that we or the division right now that we have. I mean, our families, my fam doesn't fight. But we also don't talk about really.
Yes, yes.
So I think in communities, we find ways to just not talk about anything.
Yeah.
Everything's safe.
Yeah.
And so the vulnerability happens when you start digging into our areas of disagreement, how we're different.
Yeah.
And we don't have the confidence, maybe confidence in ourselves or whatever, to be able to kind of unpack that without killing each other, without yelling at each other. And so I think there's a real fear.
Yeah.
And we're afraid of that. And so we become lonely because we don't push out.
Yeah.
Into uncharted waters right now.
Yeah.
I also do agree with that. You don't talk about something, nothing gets done. Mm-hmm. And so I have Christian friends, my family's Christian, but I don't believe in God. But I'm an atheist, but they still love me the same. It's I'm not any different to them. And I think that can also be said with this project. It's no matter what you believe in, how you think or how you feel, you're not going to be judged. We shouldn't be judged, unless it's obviously immoral or whatever. But if you have a different view on something than someone else, why are you hating on that person for that view when your view isn't all good either? You know what I mean? It's I feel like in our society we have a lot of black and white thinking. It's, there's no shades of gray for anyone. It's either you're right or you're wrong, and that's a therapy term. And ever since I've been in therapy, the world's makes sense, and it has made sense a lot, and why people do the things they do, especially with the black and white thinking, because, I don't like you because you have tattoos and piercings. That's gross. That's weird. But why? I'm still a person. We're having a conversation, and my tattoos and my piercings and my hair are not affecting this conversation.
Yeah, we make assumptions about each other, don't we?
It's the judgment that people are fearing. Yeah. They're not fearing the... They're fearing the reaction and the... they want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. They're scared to go outside that box to be accepted. You know what I mean?
And my experience is that judgment comes from a lot of self-judgment we carry around with us.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's important to name. One of the other things that we haven't talked about, I mean, we're doing this interview in the midst of the Brood and amidst that context. back a number of years ago, there was a secret drawer here at the brew. And a few people knew about it. And a few people would open the drawer to see what was inside. And I wonder if you would talk a little bit about that drawer, because for me, that fits in with this project.
We bought the brew in 2007, and it was probably 6 months or a year afterwards. I didn't want the employees said, "You've heard about the secret drawer?" And I said, "No, I guess it's really secret," because I'd heard about it.
Yeah.
So what is it? Well, in these tables out here, the drawers, they're full of napkins with messages on it.
Yeah.
Where whoever, you know, I mean, they're secret. You know, I don't know who did it. With having then gone through some of them, it was obviously probably generally a younger person would write something on there. Sometimes it was a drawing, sometimes it was a poem, sometimes it was whatever. And they stuck it in there and they just piled it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next person could come and look at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like secret messaging.
Mm-hmm.
It was, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But I may not have the confidence to tell you directly. But this is still who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And
that's where it was. And I think it still happens. Some new ones show up every now and then.
Yeah.
But not that many. And
yeah.
It's sort of maybe the bell curve. It was
sure.
The end of the bell curve.
One of the things that...
We still use the secret drawer all the time. My friends and I will always make the secret drawer, and I know many people, my friends and I included, will have something we feel about ourselves that we just want to get out, and we won't date it, we won't do anything, we'll just put it in the drawer. And I know I'd put some like positive messages and some vulnerable messages in there, because I think it's important. It's like, the anonymity of it makes it special, because it's like, oh, I'm not alone, but I will need to know who exactly, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's
what when you put that into the drawer, let's say something that's more vulnerable, there's a releasing of that. Any other experiences or feelings that come?
I know that all the times I had put one letter in there, and it was after I had broken up with my ex-boyfriend, and it was a hard breakup, and so it was basically a letter to myself in a way, where it's like, it's okay, you're beautiful, you will get through this. But I know that that message I needed, but that message could also be needed for somebody, like somebody else can need it. And so I think it's just, sometimes it's like a release, because I know journaling does help a lot of people, and in a way it's like journaling, it's like getting something that you don't want to keep inside out and putting it in the drawer.
Yeah.
And what you said this, but I'm going to come back to it. What I think was so powerful about that is what you were trying to get at and have gotten at with this podcast, this project, is that I think when my experience was, both when you put something in the drawer and when you opened the drawer, you didn't feel alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like you mentioned that, but and for you, Myron, I think that's a big piece of what you're doing here, is that you're reminding people that they're not alone, that their story matters, that their voice matters, that they matter in a world that we dismiss each other so quickly and so easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
It's true, because, you know, what you wrote can be... can affect 10 people down
there.
And you don't know, but it doesn't matter, because it's humanity helping humanity.
Yeah.
Even when we don't even know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need to feel like I'm helping people. Or you know what I mean? I don't need the validation of helping people. I just need to know that they're okay, and that this message is out, and that people are going to hear it, and they're going to resonate with it, or they're not going to resonate.
Yeah.
You don't have to resonate. It's just knowing that it is okay to be vulnerable.
The downside of that drawer was, I'd pulled out some one time, and there was one I pulled out that actually choked me up. It was a girl writing, and I'll paraphrase it, and basically said, "I thought we were best friends. Why did you break me?" And just left it there.
How painful.
Oh, it was just like, how?
Right.
You know, I just...
It still chokes you up now, doesn't it?
It's not... who's the girl, and where is she? How did she get through this
thing?
What was there? Was there someone on the other side that picked her up? I mean, it's just like, you know, I think the impact it had on me is she felt so compelled to write that.
Yeah, right.
But what's on the other side? You know what I mean? And I still worry about her. I don't know. It's like, where was somebody?
Yeah.
Where was, I hope she had friends that were able to hold her and to pick her up. And
yeah, yeah.
But you know, then it's life. Mm-hmm. It's like some people find themselves in a vortex and there's just no way out in saying like.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that wasn't the case.
You know, I've known you for a long time now, or at least a good number of years. And I know that what you just expressed right now, that love that you feel for people, that compassion, the care that permeates you and has been a part of how you've shown up in so many different places and ways in your life. And I see it permeating this project as well. And I'm inspired. I'm inspired by you. Iris, I'm inspired by you. I wonder, like, where does this project go next?
Syndication.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. Before we started, in fact, before I did the first one, I actually thought about pulling the plug.
Mm.
Just saying, I just don't know that I can do this. About three or four into it, but yeah, I'm really glad I didn't. And I've sort of looked at this as a season one, because
yeah.
I didn't want to have an open-ended and feel like, okay, you got to crank them on every week. I wanted to sort of chunk things together. I'd like to go on with it.
Okay.
I'd like to do a second, third, fourth season, maybe.
Okay.
I'm getting older, and
yeah,
semi-retired, and have a little more time on the hands
yeah.
sometime in the future, and maybe this is something I could do for the next number of years.
Yeah.
And I have a list of people that have been coming to my mind that I'm thinking of, and there's other people that may listen to this and call me up and say, hey, I'd like to be part of this.
Yeah.
And I thought about, you know, about chunking things together, doing just artists, do a season of artists.
Sure.
And sort of find a way through the personalities that kind of come on, yeah. local artists or mm-hmm. everyone Iris's age.
Yeah.
Only, you know, between 18 and 22 or
yeah.
something, and ask those questions, have
yeah.
an older person asking those questions and providing a space to listen.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways we could do this. What I don't want to do is I don't want to get fancy equipment and a nice studio. I want to hear the door slam at the brewery.
Yep.
And the baby's crying.
Or the baby's crying in the background. And, I want that because it's what life is.
Yeah.
And so I want it to be unfiltered.
Yeah.
And so whatever happens, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I want it to just be a normal conversation. Two humans, you know, touching each other's life.
Sitting down at the brew.
Yep. Sitting down.
Yep. Iris, are you up for more?
Yeah, I think this project is like bigger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The community's project.
Mm-hmm.
Like Grandpa started it and he came to me and said, can you help me? But it's not about us. It's
mm-hmm.
about other people, and I really like that, and I'd want to continue to do that. I would totally be down for however many more to come, you know, and as long as it's in moderation, of course. But like he said, it won't be this big, fancy thing. And I think that's what we need now, especially with the social media sort of things and like how people are perceived online as perfect. And they have all these fancy equipment. They have editors to edit these things. They pay people to do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa doesn't. Like, I mean, he pays me. But that's different. That's a different thing. It's because it's just us. It's his laptop, two microphones, and a conference room
mm-hmm.
that echoes.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And it's perfect. I like it like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's all I have to say about the project.
And I think the other thing that I like about this is you'll never see this on TikTok.
No.
Be sure.
It's too long. It's too crappy. It's too
It's not polished.
Schlutzy, you know.
Yeah, because our lives aren't polished, right?
This is not TikTok.
Yeah.
So this is maybe forcing a TikToker to sit down to hear a long story.
Yep.
And so it's just maybe the juxtaposition of three generations.
There you go.
And to say this is the oddity of it all coming together.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. Well, what format are you going to allow other people to both hear these stories and to view the art?
So actually beginning next week. So we're in mid-July right now. And next week, we're going to start posting it on Facebook, the art piece.
Mm.
And so, you know, actually, I told you earlier that yours, we did an interview in the beginning. And so yours are going to be the first one. And so we'll do the artwork that Iris did, and that'll be on the Facebook with a link to that goes to our website with a page where all the conversations will
be. Okay.
So each week there'll be a new one coming.
Okay.
So there'll be season one, and the new one will be in. You can listen to any of them as you want.
So I just want to clarify, what Facebook?
So it would be the Electric Brew.
Okay. And so it'd be the Electric Brew, then the website as well.
Yes.
Okay.
And we may, I could probably throw it on a Spotify or something like that where they do podcasts.
Get Iris to help you.
Get Iris to do that. I don't know about that.
Okay.
You know, but we might do something like that. But that's initially just the way we're going to do it.
Okay. That'll
be popping on Instagram and Facebook.
All right.
And see what's going to happen.
All right.
If 5 people listen to it, I'm excited. If one person listens to it, I'm excited.
Well,
that there was a value. If nobody listens to it, it was still worth it.
Yeah. I was going to say, today I've heard very clearly that this project has been valuable to the two of you.
Yes.
Whether it's valuable to anybody else. And I will say, as a participant, it was really valuable to be able to tell my story.
Yeah.
So thank you for that opportunity. Right. Anything else you want to add today?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I have looked forward to every conversation.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I remember it was 19. It was well worth it.
Great. Well, I look forward to season 2.
Okay.
We had a conversation. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Continue to be reminded that everyone has a story that needs to be told. Take a moment today to listen to someone's story and tell yours as well. Be well, and make your world just a bit better today.